put into.
Derek will show you how to migrate your on-premise database to the cloud.
Okay, thank you, Wesley. So what we're going to do now is to migrate an application. So we got an application, a small website running on my local laptop. And this is basically your normal on-premise application with both the software stack and the database stack running on the local machine. It can be, in your case, it can be your SQL server running in your data center or on a desktop somewhere, under a disk somewhere. But the goal of this migration process is that at the end of the demo, we will have our database running on a server, I don't know where, maybe in Dublin, maybe in another city. I don't know where, I don't want to know, but it's just a database, it's running in the cloud somewhere. But at the end, you'll see my application is running just as well and with not too much delay using that different SQL server. So to do that, there's basically five steps to do. First, you have to get a SQL Azure account. SQL Azure account is just one of the accounts you can have. Once you have an Azure account, you select to use SQL Server and you have SQL Azure account as well. Then you'll choose your migration tool. Now, there are a number of migration ways you can migrate your data or your schema from a local machine into the cloud. There's a SQL Azure Migration Wizard. After the demo, I have a list with all the URLs where you can download these things. We're going to use the Azure Migration Wizard in this demo because it's just the easiest way to do things. It's a code that's available on CodePlex. So you just go to codeplex.com, look for Azure Migration Wizard, and you have always the latest version there. Now, there's always a thing called SQL Server script generation. Now, you probably know that SQL Server can generate scripts for the schema. In the latest versions of SQL Server, you can also generate scripts for generating the data. So I'll show you in just a minute how to do that. But even in an on-premise to on-premise scenario, that can be very interesting. If you just want to generate your database schema, including your data, you can do that from within SQL Server as well. And the last point, last possible option, is using data tier applications. Now, data tier applications is a new thing, starting with SQL Server 2008 R2. That is also generating kind of a script. It's actually an XML file that will be generated that contains all the schema code, all the data, and also part of the security, like which users are in there and so on. In the current version of SQL Server 2008 R2, utilization is a bit limited. So you can just do a one-shot generation of a local data tier application and then publish it to the cloud or to another SQL Server 2008 R2. In our next version of SQL Server called Denali, this data tier application, or DACPAC as it's called, will be much more elaborated. So, so once you choose your migration tool, then you can go on and migrate the database. You'll see migration is pretty quickly. Then last thing you need to do is to change the connection string of your application because currently it's pointing to your local machine and now you have to point it into the cloud. So you have to change the connection string there and afterwards you do want to test if everything is still working. But typically during the migration, if there are any problems, you will see it during the migration that there is a problem and or that some schema cannot be migrated. So without further ado, let's migrate this database. So sorry. Very little room for the mouse. And the cable is not long enough. Yeah, okay, so I don't know if you know the. Okay. Just a second here. This. Touchpad. Okay. Yeah. We were reviewing our demo right before we started here, so just bear with me. Now, the application that we're going to migrate is the PetShop application. I don't know if any of you know PetShop. So PetShop was a website that was created years ago at the time when Java started to be used. And at that time, Java users said, well, we created this PetShop application and Java is much faster than .NET. So we got an independent company to rewrite PetShop in .NET code, and .NET was apparently faster than Java. And over the years, then this PetShop application was used as some kind of a best practices ground where you could see how a good .NET application using SQL Server and using web technology could be written. So let me just stop this application and start our website again. So you see we have our PetShop application. This is our nice portal where we can buy animals that we like. Maybe we want to buy some birds. So we get an overview of all the birds. And like we get a list of pelicans. Or if you want to buy a fish, we can choose from many different sorts of fish. And so this is just an overview, just to show you, these are all records in a SQL Server database. Actually, PetShop is using four different databases because PetShop does much more than just show you a list of animals. You can also, let me just scroll up. You can also sign in, you can make a wish list, you can check out, there's a shopping basket technology in there and so on. So it's actually using four different databases. And what we're going to do in this demo is just migrate our products database. Because maybe our products database can be in the cloud, but we still want our user database to be closer to our premises. So what we're going to do here is to show an hybrid scenario with a few databases that are still local and one database that's in the cloud. So zoom in here. So as you can see, there are a number of databases for PetShop, and they all start with MS PetShop 4. So I'm going to use MS PetShop 4 here as the database that will be migrated. There's some tables in there, category, inventory, item, and so on. It's not a rocket science database, but it will do. Now, remember I told you we have to choose which database migration approach we're going to take? We're going to use the database migration wizard, but I just want to show you how to generate data and code from within SQL Server itself. So if we right-click the database, we go to tasks and generate scripts here. And let me zoom out so we can script the entire database. Now, these are the typical steps that all of you have probably already taken to generate a script from your database. But if you go to the advanced tab, you get much more options. And let me zoom in here. You get your types of data to script. By default, this is set to schema only. So if you script using all the default options, you will get the schema of your database. Now, there's also a choice to script schema and data. So in that case, if you choose that, then it will generate a script. And at first, it will generate all the schema. And after that, it will generate insert statements to also insert all the data. Is it recommended, yes or no? Well, it all depends on how much data you have in your database. Because it will generate individual insert statements, if you have a 5 terabyte database, maybe this is not the way to go. For that, it's better to use things like BCP or bulk insert and so on. So okay, so now let's migrate our database. We have these tables, and as you can see here, I'm working in SQL Server Management Studio 2008 R2, and one of the databases I've been connected to here is my SQL Azure database as well. So let me just show you. Here is my SQL Azure database, and I have just created an empty database. So there's no tables in. Only thing I need to do is to create one extra user, because my pet shop is using standard SQL Server login. So I need to create a user in there. So let me go here. And creating the user is just done by executing a T-SQL statement. So I'm creating this user. Oh, already created it, so that's good. Okay. Now, one thing you'll notice, I cannot use the use statement, for instance. That's not available in SQL Azure. You have to change the database by going here. And I'll create this user here, and I will make this database owner. Now, that's enough. Now, in theory, you can, and as we'll see in a minute, we can have this database created by the migration wizard as well. But because the migration wizard is also scripting security settings, like granting of security to specific stored procedures and so on, I've chosen to create this user up front. Okay, so now let's go to the migration wizard. When you download the migration wizard from CodePlex, this is what you get. So you just execute this, and as you'll see, you have a number of options. You can just analyze the database. You can analyze and migrate. You can migrate without analyzing, so you just hope that everything will work. Or you can just run a T-SQL file without analyzing. But what we're going to do is we're going to analyze and migrate our database. I connect to my local host, and I will choose to migrate this BetShop 4 database. No rocket science so far. And as you'll see, this is basically somewhat the same screen that you will see when you want to export or generate scripts of your database. You have the same advanced button and so on, but in this case, we don't do anything. So we get an overview, click Next. Yes, I'm pretty ready to generate the script. And we see something in red. Red is usually not a good color. Now, I specifically put in a view. Maybe I'll enlarge the screen. And I've called the view this won't work, because there's some syntax in SQL Azure, and we'll talk about more constraints later on. There's some syntax in SQL Azure that is not allowed. If we look at what this view tries to do, let's just get out. We can look at the SQL script that has been generated. So you see what this view is doing? It's just doing select star from sys.conf configurations. Now, one thing that's of no use on a SQL Azure platform is to know what type of server you're running on, because the type of server can change from day to day or from hour to hour. You don't need to know. And we basically don't want you to know what type of server we're running on, or how much memory the thing has, or how many CPUs that one has. So that's why if you run this in a SQL Azure environment, this will fail. And that's one of the good things of the migration wizard. It will highlight these items. It will highlight things that will not work in SQL Azure. So what I'm going to do here is just delete this from the script. And I'm moving on to the next page. Now, this is the the most complex page. We have to type in our name, our SQL Azure server name, and user ID password. Now, because it's a complex thing, I've created a cheat sheet. They've done. I don't know how they do it, but they keep on generating these names you cannot memorize. Well, at least I cannot. Have to log in with a user and a password. And then we'll get the list of all the databases that already exist. Now, I could choose, if you can see here, there is a Create Database button as well. I could choose to create my database here, but it's already created, so I'll select PetShop for Azure. Click Next, and I'm going to execute my script against the destination. So you can see that he's creating it, and in this case, he is, I should have put more attention to it when we generated the script. What he actually did is he generates all the schema, and then in the background, he does a number of BCP outs. So he makes text files, the Azure migration widget creates text files with the content of each table, and in the end, so let me zoom in. So in the end, you will see that, for instance, it's uploading to dbo.item, and this is the BCP command that works. So actually, a BCP command still works in SQL Azure, and he uploaded 62 rows. And get a nice summary in the end. Now, one thing you have to know, it will create this directory itself, and it will not clean up the directory afterwards. So if you have a 1 terabyte database, make sure that you have enough space on that disk, and make sure you clean up afterwards. Okay, now our database is migrated. So let's just go and see here. We have our PetShop for Azure database. When I refresh the tables, you can see that we have all our tables in here. Now, so I'm now connected to the SQL Azure database. So you can see that. So if you're using Management Studio 2008 R2, you can see it down here that there is a name of the server, there is the user ID that's being connected, and the name of the database where you're connected to is available in the status bar. Okay, so now there's step 4 to do, is we have to change our connection string, right? So in order to change the connection string of our PetShop database, we go to Internet Information Server here and to the virtual directory that hosts our PetShop application. So in this case, go to the connection strings, open connection string 1 and connection string 2, and I go back to my cheat sheet. And I still don't know how to switch off link. So we'll change our connection strings here. Change this connection string as well. And I'll stop. I'll just restart IIS. And start. And let's go back to our fabulous pet shop. And it's still there. Now, you don't know if this is working against the Azure database, yes or no, right? So, because it's showing exactly the same categories and the same birds and so on. So I'm still connected to my Azure database, and I will update my products and just call them all SQL Azure. So now I'm connected to my database in the cloud somewhere, and I've just updated 31 records, not just 31 records affected. So now when I would select my product table again, you will see that I have an Azure Pelican and an Azure Penguin and an Azure Owl and so on. So let's go back to our pet shop. And refresh. Database. So, well, we don't see it here yet. But now we can see that we have our data that is actually coming from SQL Azure. When you look at the speed of the application, there's really no difference. Well, you cannot feel any difference from the fact that it's coming from my local laptop or from a server. I don't know where it is. So that's a nice thing to do. So that's basically how easy it is. Now, I didn't time it. I never timed it. But it's like if you're going really through all the steps without explaining them, you can probably migrate a small database within 10, 15 minutes or so. So what actually happened? I was running the database, the PetShop database, locally on-premise using 4 databases. And I requested a test Azure account. I didn't do it right now. I did it before. You have to set up a SQL Azure firewall. I could show you that too. SQL Azure firewall is just an extra firewall in the cloud to protect anyone from accessing your database. So you can say within SQL Azure, you can say, well, my SQL Azure database can only be accessed from this machine, or from another SQL Azure, or from maybe another SQL server on-premise, or from your application that is running. So it's not, yeah, don't have to imagine your SQL server to be out there and to be accessible to hackers all over the world. No, you have to specifically set up some firewall rules to allow one database or one server to connect to your database. So second thing I did was I created the Azure database. After that, I created the user so that I wouldn't run into issues in generating grant statements. And then migrated one of these 4 databases into the cloud. I changed some data, changed the connection string. And you can see that we're actively running against the cloud right now. So you'll probably get the slides afterwards. I put the links all in there so you can if you want to try it, you can try it out yourself. There's a PetShop 4 application. You can download it from here. If you get an error during installation, it can have something to do with ACLs. You can run it from the command line as well. You can get a SQL Azure free trial on that link. Migration Wizard, you can download it from here. And the azure.com website is a website where you can manage all your databases from the cloud as well. Yes, sir?
What kind of connection can you do between the client and the database?
Okay. So the question was, what kind of connection is used between the client and the database? It's a normal SQL Server connection.
That means also one of
those? Normally, it's a 1433, but I think normally using the port 80, you should be able to get out. But the client application doesn't have to know it's connecting to any kind of other database. So the connection to the server is, I'm not really sure which port it's using, because the port is only required at the place where you connect to. It's not required to open the firewall at your site to that specific port, I guess. So from my point of view, the connection for SQL Server from any client, it doesn't need to know what other database type is connecting to. If it's connecting to a normal SQL Server or connecting to a SQL Server in the cloud, there is no difference. So it is a standard TDS protocol that is being used. But you won't connect outgoing traffic. You will connect. You will typically protect incoming traffic, so you will block incoming ports, but you will not block outgoing ports. Incoming ports. Okay. sorry. If you also want to protect incoming ports, then outgoing ports. That I'll need to check. What SQL Server typically does is it connects over UDP 1434. So it connects to a SQL browser. And then after the communication with the browser, the SQL Server, the answer from the SQL browser will be, well, I'm listening on this port. So, but if you want, we can find that out. It's a good question. Thank you. Other questions? Yes? Question was, can this link be encrypted? Let me come back to that later on, because I just get a message we get 10 minutes to go, and Wesley has like 50 minutes to talk to. So.
So the communication between SQL Azure and the client is always encrypted, by the way, using SSL. Okay, so synchronization. As I said, we'll have the possibility to synchronize between different data centers.
You can see from the number of green vinkskis in the log, it does work. So.
Okay, so what are some of the main differences? One of the most important one, I think, or one that we see many people having issues with is the fact that you cannot do cross-database references. So, as Derek already explained, you cannot use database, but you can also not create a view, for example, that joins two different databases together. That's a very important thing to notice. Some server constructs, of course, we are in control, like sp-configure, sp-command-shell, and so on, are not accessible for obvious reasons, I guess. And the way you should perceive it is you move the logical management or the physical management, you're going to more on logical management. So you'll be able to manage your tables, your indexes, your queries, the interesting stuff, let's say. But you will not be able to manage files, file groups, the way you lay out the database on your disks and so on. That is obviously something that we have to take care of. For today also, from a security point of view, SQL Server Authentication is the only authentication method that works on SQLite. I know we are working on projects to integrate Azure into Active Directory and so on, so it's not a promise, but I assume, me personally, that once you have that set up, that SQL Azure in the future will also be able to support NTA authentication using that. And then for the monitoring part, I'll have Derek explain.
Thank you. So if you look at monitoring these days, what are you monitoring? Typically, you're monitoring the CPU usage of your SQL Server and the disk usage and the disk latency and so on. Now, those are all things that you don't need to monitor anymore because you couldn't care less about the load of the server. So monitoring is typically the responsibility for data center operations. And trust me, they do have a lot of good monitoring in place. Now, if you're used to using the DMVs, the dynamic management views, for monitoring and for looking at what's happening on the server, a number of DMVs are still available, like sysdm exec query stats and the exec requests are still available. You can still get your query plans from memory the way you're used to in SQL 2008. There's some new ones, specifically for SQL Azure, like the bandwidth usage and the database copies and so on. Bandwidth usage gives you some idea on what is your usage, how much data are you sending over the network, because that's a unit of billing as well. Now, a number of DMVs are not available. For instance, you cannot look at the servers, you cannot look at the version stores, because that's TemDB, you cannot use database mail, and so on. Now, this link has the complete list of what is available and what is not available. Now, if you look at pure operations point of view, the pure operations is the responsibility of the data center. So all the patching of the OSs, all the capacity planning, all the buying new disks and stuff, that is all responsibility of the data center. So you don't have to do that anymore. You can save a lot of money by not doing that. Now, the data center is not responsible for optimizing your indexes or optimizing your queries. So that is things that you still have to do. You still have to create maintenance plans to keep your database healthy. But you don't have to do all these things anymore to get your server, your operating system, and your database as a server healthy. So I try to switch back to the demo. Or?
Yeah. Trust me, it synchronizes.
Yes, yeah.
I can show you on my laptop. Okay, so what we see today is that SQL Azure is a very interesting database platform running in the cloud. But most importantly, it's still SQL Server, so you don't have to change the way you work. we take care of the high availability, performance. You don't have to manage patching and so on. So that should be interesting, especially in ISV cases, I think. It's very easy to start with. If you have MSDN licenses, you can get free Azure trial accounts, but you can also get a trial account on the Windows Azure website for free. I think it's 30 days. Pretty easy to migrate to it, as Derek showed. Migration wizard will take care of all the complexity for you. It will analyze whether everything is compatible and so on. It will export the data and import the data into the SQL Azure database. So not much work there. There are different ways, of course, so it's still up to you to decide which way you prefer to migrate. And from a management point of view or manageability point of view, you can still use your familiar SQL Server Management Studio or the Azure portal if you don't have Management Studio to manage your database and the schema and indexing and so on. So now it's your turn. I hope to see many of your databases in the cloud in the near future. And with that, we'll open the call for questions. There are still some questions.
We will also be around during the break if you're still have any questions by then.
Pricing? Some idea of pricing scheme?
I don't know by heart, so. Okay. But we have, I think we have a slide in the description somewhere.
The billing scheme is you pay per database, so you have different types of databases, as you can see here, and that's a fixed fee per month. And then there is an extra fee, but that's a normal Azure fee. That has nothing to do with SQL Azure, but for the usage of getting data in and out of the Azure platform, which is pennies per gigabyte, which is definitely not in that order. But so just to make sure that you're not importing and exporting a terabyte per hour, so I guess that's also an extra cost. But I'm sure that other people can give you more details on that. Okay, so if there's more questions, we'll be around during the break. And now we give the word to our next speaker.
Thank you.
Thank you.